Self-Evident is a podcast that is dedicated to speaking truth that was once self-evident, but doing so in love. Hail and well met, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Self-Evident. I am here with
Rebecca Leland.
And in case you didn't know, I am still Jenna, and we are still here. We're going to be going on another topic that's been on your heart recently, and that is offending someone.
Yeah. What did you think when I offered this as a topic?
Finally, someone's going to address this. Genuinely. I know that there's been a lot of talk about that. And if you listen to the right sermons, if you're in the right social circles, that you're going to come across this a lot where it's like, no, you need to be able to be honest with your friends. You need to be able to take a hit and realize that this person is a great example of this would be Pastor Doug Wilson. We all love Pastor Doug.
Icon legend.
Even the people who hate him, they get their livelihoods out of writing about him. Yes! So like, yeah, we all love him. But he has this great analogy of Christian love is going to look different in different ways. You know, for example, you're walking down the hallways of, you know, St. Andrew's School, which is one of their colleges, their grade schools over there. And you would see girls like writing in bubble letters, like someone like the beautiful verses and God loves you and you're beautiful and everything. Yes. And they'd be putting it on different lockers. And he's like, wow, Christian love. And then you turn around and you see a group of guys and one guy just like shoves another one into a locker and just goes, you meathead. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, well, we can't all be perfect. You just saw a better version of Christian love than all those little bubble notes put together, because that guy shoving his friend into a locker and saying you meathead was him calling him out for taking a non-Christian on a date.
That is phenomenal. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Where like to the world, it seems unloving, but it's because God defines his words, we don't. And he's very clear in scripture of offense. What is offense? And what should it be? What shouldn't it be? And should we be afraid of it? Should we be afraid of offending someone? Yeah. Should we be afraid of someone looking at us and like throwing our friend against the locker?
Right.
You know what I mean? That is phenomenal.
And I know we've talked about Christian love before on the podcast. Our entire motto is to speak the truth in love. But what does that look like? So Rebecca, why on earth are we talking about this?
So because it's just real. I mean, I feel like in my own life more recently, I have been so appreciative of my friends, specifically my sisters in Christ, who have told me the truth when in the moment it was so offensive. I'm learning a lot about just what God is calling me as a woman, as a godly woman, how I'm supposed to live my life. More recently, I am kind of realizing when it comes to friends, male and female friends, how there needs to be some really clear boundaries. And when it comes to that guy is a brother in Christ and I can't treat him, I shouldn't actually be treating him like I do a friend. I should be treating him like a brother in Christ. So God has just been convicting me of this recently. I had very, very close guy friends who I wasn't treating like brothers in Christ. I was treating them like really close friends, my best friends. The way that I was doing it, for me, it just wasn't godly. It wasn't the way that God wanted me to do it. And I had a friend who asked me, Stephanie, she actually is on these podcasts.
We love a good Stephanie.
And she was just like, yeah, I don't know if she said it was weird, but she just basically was the only person in my life who questioned it. No one questioned it. They're like, oh yeah, they're her best friends. And she was like, yeah, it's kind of odd. Like, it's just kind of interesting. Like, I don't know if that's biblical kind of thing. And I was just like, so taken aback, so offended. And obviously in the moment I was just like, interesting. And like in my heart, I was like, Stephanie doesn't know what's up. And actually this is so fine. Comes out to be that it wasn't fun, and I wasn't in that friendship for the right reasons, and the friendship absolutely imploded and it needed to. And then now I'm hearing more and more, like now that the friendship is over, my friends will be like, yeah, I did think that was kind of fishy, or I did think that was interesting. And it's been interesting to see how that hits my heart. Stephanie's, yeah. I am so appreciative of now, even though I was offended then. And then my friends who didn't see anything, I wouldn't say I'm offended by them because I get it. But how much so would I have wished they would have saved me pain from walking my way and not God's way by listening to the conviction of the Holy Spirit? And so I thought about this idea of offense. And I think we all come at it from, okay, you have a friend and we say, you know what, I'm going to be gracious and I'm going to love them, so I'm not going to say anything. And I don't think that's the right way. No. I think it's, I'm going to be gracious and I'm going to love them. And I'm going to seek scripture about this. And if you truly seek scripture, it is going to ask you probably not to convict them, but to allow the Holy Spirit to convict them.
But you can be the vessel in which the Holy Spirit works.
You're called to be. Yeah. Like, that is the greatest mystery of God, is that for some reason he asks us to be his vessels. So unworthy, so imperfect. Even the best vessel you know in your life that loves Jesus, sinner saved by grace. What does that look like? And how do we get over that hump of reframing our brains, loving our sister and brother in Christ. Also loving the lost person and calling them out for their sin. How do we do that well? How do we offend people well?
There is a good friend of mine, and it's a friend group, so it's not like I'm individually hanging out one-on-one with these people a lot. We try to see each other in groups of three and four because we have more fun that way. Yeah. And we really love being around each other. So the more the merrier. I remember one of our friends was going through a breakup. I was part of the friendship for a lesser period of time than someone else. You know, like some others were like childhood friends, yes, et cetera. And then I came along. Yeah. When this breakup happened, I was there and I was able to love and I was able to comfort, but then I was also be like, okay, so now we've learned our lesson, right? Mm. Like, you know, you've been through this experience, you know better now. And so the friend would be like, yeah, of course, yeah, I know better now. But then when I was talking with the other person who's known her since childhood, they're like, she's gonna do this again.
Oh, no.
This always happens. Like, my method of dealing with this when she goes through a breakup like that, listen to her, be there for her, but always realize like, oh, she's not gonna take the advice.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, so you're not gonna tell her?
You're
and
not they're just call like, call her higher.
We're just here to listen and love and shrug and just be like, whatever. Like, okay, well, welcome the next boyfriend.
Isn't that not the world?
It killed me. It killed me. I'm like, this person does not deserve to be treated this way, and neither do all of the suitors that come in the future.
Amen. Do you love them? Do you actually love them? Like, that is the epitome of what the world does. They hug people to hell. It is like, I love you so much, I love you so much. And then at the end of the day, it's like, wait, why didn't you tell me that I'm a dirty, rotten sinner and I need to be saved by grace? Why didn't you tell me that I am justified and like, I'm going to be glorified one day, but like, there's so much work to do. Why didn't you tell me?
And church is like, the biggest enemy of the sinner when huge. We couch it in that type of empathy.
Amen. Because it's toxic and it does not lead to fruit. Because like that poor girl, she has had this friend so faithfully by her side, hugging her into the wrong things, letting her continue down the road that is not fruitful.
They disagree with it, but they're just going to shrug their shoulders and just look the other way.
We say this, and obviously in the moment, like I can think of friends who are going through things, like even just recently, I have a really close friend. They're a part of something that I'm like, you know what? I don't know if that's like fruitful. And obviously it's not a bad thing. It wasn't a sinful thing, but I was like, actually, like they're so gifted and talented. I don't know if this is like something that they're actually should be pursuing. And I was like praying about it, like, God, give me the opportunity. And we recently went out for coffee and I was able to be like, they brought it up and they were kind of talking about it. And I was just like, so do you see God in that? And like, just kind of getting into it, we were able to push down on it and talk through it. And it was so good. And I'm not saying that they're going to like leave this thing high and dry and like stop doing it at all. But it was like such a gift of a conversation. And it was because like, she's a believer too, which is, that's phenomenal. You have to know who you're talking about. Are you convicting them of the ultimate sin? And we're talking through that, allowing the Holy Spirit to convict of that as a non-believer. Or are we convicting, not condemning, of sin that we need to continue working on as believers? Like, that's a good differentiation we need to know. What are we offending and why are we offending? Are we offending someone who has the Holy Spirit who's going to convict them? Or are we offending someone who is far from Christ, needs the Holy Spirit? You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between the offense, I would say, for sure. So I guess for this conversation, I think we're more so talking about the Christian friend. When it comes to the non-believing friend, you just literally imagine them. They are on the way to hell. That non-believer is going to hell. Like, if they don't believe Jesus Christ is Savior and they die right now, they're going to hell eternally. Share the gospel with them. Go ahead and offend them, because I promise you, when they're in heaven, they won't be like, yeah, actually it was really hurtful the way that you shared the gospel. Like, when I, like, we joke about it, but no one will ever be mad at you in eternity for sharing the gospel with them. And we'd like to talk about a lot of time, the seven touches. It normally takes seven times someone hearing, seeing, or being exposed to something to making an action on it. You might be the sixth touch of the seventh touch to get them to be saved. So when it comes to their salvation, offend. Offend away. In scripture, in Christ, the gospel is offensive. Actually, it says one of my favorite verses on this topic is found in 1 Corinthians. And it's 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So be prepared. If you share about the word of God, it will be folly to those who aren't truly understanding it, and they will reject it. But then I love the second part, and that's what we're going to kind of sit on today, is, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Who are we and why are we depriving our friends of the power of God? I think, again, it goes, and I think this is the answer to everything, it's pride. Why else do you think we deprive our friends from honest truth when it's hard?
Because we think we're loving them. We're protecting them. I know I've felt that way before multiple times when you could glaringly see something is very off with your friend, you just don't know how to tell them. You're sitting there being like, oh my goodness, this is hurting you. This is hurting your reputation. This is hurting like friendships around you, and you don't realize it. How do I tell you though? Another question to think of is, have you invested enough time in that person where if you write a check, the deposit's going to come out? Does that make sense?
What's the level?
What's the level of your friendship? Yes. Because if you're just telling some person that you just met for coffee a couple weeks ago, you don't know where this person's heart is. You don't know where.
And you sit there like, hey, I just noticed a sin issue in your life.
When I was talking with you the other day, you were like not paying attention to me. And I feel like that is like a you problem. Do you really think that's going to come off well? So I think another aspect of this is to think, have I invested enough time into this person where I'm going to come to them like Stephanie did to you and was like, hey, that's weird. Obviously, they're going to be offended, but they're going to be able to chew on that. They're going to be able to think on that. You've planted a pebble in their shoe and they may be cold to you for a little bit after that, but they would have the realization like, this person loves me. This person has never sought anything but my good. So if you have not cashed enough checks with that one person, maybe you should invest in that friendship. Maybe you should pour more time into them in order to be that person for them and be like, hey, I've noticed this about your life. And who knows, maybe through God having you in their life and having you invest that time in them, maybe they'll come to that realization on their own, because maybe they'll see an example in you of how to do something the correct way, or maybe having that type of person in their lives will convict them. Like this one friend of ours, he was in utter denial that his relationship was going down the drain. We were friends with the girlfriend and we became friends with this guy through her. He was telling me like, no, it's okay. Like I'll make it work. This is going to, and I'm sitting there listening to him and I'm quietly being like, okay, Lord, do I talk to him about this? Is this, have I cashed enough checks with him? He came to the point where he's like, you're the only one who has ever seen me. You're the only one that has made sure to have time for me when I needed time. I think you want my best interest. I'm like, well, duh, obviously, yes. I love you as a Christian brother in Christ. I need you to listen to me. And because of that conversation, because my family and I, we have invested enough time with this man, he was able to realize they care about me so deeply. They're telling me something that no one else has told. Everyone else has looked the other way. So that is a huge thing with being able to talk with somebody. You have to have the money in the bank with them.
Can I challenge something? So I love the, at all times, we are investing in people. And the reason we're investing is to show them that love. I don't know if it'd be right to say we can't say something until we've cashed in enough.
I agree.
A moment of when you sit down that you can cash in that moment, that you can say, hey, there's more that I have that maybe I haven't expressed to you. And this is where I'm at. Like I'm saying this because I love you. I'm actually scared to say this. And in that moment, you're actually getting like, let's just say a really large deposit in that bank. Like, yes, Lord willing, your motives and maybe even the small amount that you've interacted with them is going to back up what you were giving them in that moment. But maybe it's just being very honest right off the bat, instead of like kind of what you said with that guy. There's this amazing book I just got into. I'm going to finish it. And I would love to do a book study on it or a book club on it.
Yeah.
With self-evident. But it's called Tactics and it's a Christian book. And basically in the very beginning, he tells you basically three questions that you are asking someone to, you can get into any debate. And it's actually so much more about what questions you ask the other person than presenting your side. And you basically get them to, if they're wrong, they'll kind of figure it out. And kind of what you did with that man, you didn't say you should not date her, this is why, blah, blah, blah. You asked him questions and you got it out. And I think you just hit the nail on the head when it comes to offending. And it's like, don't come off as this offense. Don't slap them on the face, but hold their hand and say, hey, there's some things we have to talk about.
Yeah. Don't go out for coffee with them and sit them down. Like, so the reason I actually wanted to take you out is because
prayerfully, and then if it comes up,
if the moment arises.
Yes.
So the reason that I said you have to invest enough in that bank, it doesn't necessarily have to be time. You know where you stand with friendships. If you're honest with yourself, you know where you stand with people.
But they know where you're coming from, the motives.
Exactly. And, so you're able to analyze that person and be like, okay, this person thinks thus, such, and whatever about me. So if I'm able to present this to them and be
wise. You're saying be wise in when and where. We're not just going out there. Next person I see, hey, listen to this podcast, and they basically told me to tell you that this is where the Lord really needs to work on it. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I totally agree.
Great.
Use wisdom.
Great cauliflower.
Yes.
Great cauliflower.
Great cauliflower.
I hate cauliflower. Anyway.
Cauliflower rice?
Really?
Nasty.
Okay, I was like, so really? Gross.
I'm like, you're number one. Don't call it rice. That's rude.
It's gross.
It's gross. That's it doesn't work. Vegetable? Nothing you can do
is
with it. It?
No, it's another grain. Rice is a grain. It's not a grain. Vegetable.
No. Amen.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a great qualifier. Make sure that you know where you stand with that person. Not necessarily time-wise, but just know where you stand with that person and know, am I going to be the vessel that God uses? I've had so many conversations with my dear friend, Alyssa, who's obviously the host of this podcast, where we were talking about how can we approach certain topics? Do we need to bring it up? Mm-hmm. Or will the conversation, will the Holy Spirit guide the conversation where it'll come up now and someone's not going to be like, oh my goodness, so the only reason that you took me out for this dinner or wanted to walk with me is so to like hammer this home and tell me I'm in such sin and I need to repent. Mm-hmm. No. Those types of conversations need to arise. What you were saying, like when the Holy Spirit guides you, when those situations come up, when you were talking with your friend for coffee and you were able to like bring up those certain conversations. So be wise about it, like you, what you were saying.
I think the wisdom is it's constant prayer. Because like when I went into the coffee, I think I've always kind of thought about it. So I was like, it's you're asking God when. I think you're not waiting. You're not waiting for like, okay, God, you're just going to have to, if a man in a blue suit walks in, then I'll do it. You know what I mean? You're not asking for signs. You know there's a time. You know that if it's on your heart, yes, because you're you have wisdom, you know your friend, you are that friend in your friend's life. I think if the Holy Spirit convicts you, you are that friend. It's not a when.
I agree with you.
And then I think it's, if you're constantly in prayer, it's going to come up. You know what I mean? Because basically you're looking for a link. You're looking for a link to what we're talking about, to what I have to bring up. And like the deeper this an issue, obviously it's going to be more niche and more like specific. But even like sitting down with a friend, and again, I think it's fear. If you're going to say like, oh, they're going to react this way. Never say they're going to react this way. Yes, we are supposed to be wise about something, but we don't know the future. Again, it's how you say it. If it's in love and it is for them, I will say, I did not take what Stephanie said well. I was actually offended by her. And I actually like, I told her, I was like, yeah, I was kind of mad at you. I was honestly like, I was like, Stephanie, she doesn't know. Cause I was not in the red heart attitude, but later on, because it's truth. And it's like, God's word will not return void. So I would definitely like, it's prayed up and you're not doing this. Obviously you're not doing it out of a, you know, hard heart. Cause like, we're not doing this uncomfortable thing cause you were mad at them. It's cause you love them. It's cause God's leading you to it. So I think, yeah, I mean, the main thing is it's probably going to come from you. If it's something God's put on your heart, don't shrug that off to someone else. Like the friend who was friends with that one girl who never brought it up. It was her job. Like she was supposed to be doing that. God will bring other people to do his will, but he invites you to do it. And he invites you to be a part of it. And you are so much more blessed when you are doing God's will, not happy. Not going to make all the friends in the world, but the friends that are on fire for God will appreciate it. And honestly, if they don't appreciate it here on earth, like they will appreciate it in heaven. And that's the goal, because the goal is like to help each other as best as we can biblically to be refined and to follow after Christ. And I think it's like 100% a biblical idea, because it's like iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. And we again are very distant from the idea of iron sharpening iron, but that is like painful. That is loud. There is like sparks flying. We're not like, iron sharpening iron is not the amazing, what we like to think as women, which is like just so cuddly and loving and like, hey Jenna, I know your heart is so ready for this, but I'm going to tell you this thing. You're like, oh my gosh, Rebecca, thank you so much for tearing me down and showing just the really ugly part of me that I hate because I'm a Christian. Thank you so much for like, that's not realistic. The reality is convicting someone is like the gnarliest thing we can say. As believers, we are called to say the meanest thing that the world knows how to say to someone, which is you're going to hell. And we are called to do that. And then as believers, we are called to do what the world hates to do. And it's saying, no, your desires are not who you are. Like, we need to follow after Christ. And so again, it's like, it's a high calling. It's a hard calling. But like, as a friend, I think the biggest, way that we can look at it is, yes, you have that friend who you need to bring up something to and you need to refine them. Do to others what you'd want done to you.
Yeah.
If that friend was in your shoes and you were going a way that was not of the Lord, how would you, not when or if, how would you want them to bring it up? And you're not the same as them, so pray over that, but be like, I would want them to bring it up with kindness.
Yeah.
I would want them to bring it up with humility. I would want them to be, you know, say it, but I would want them to say it. So I think asking God that, like, okay, God, with that heart, prayerfully bring up this opportunity. Give me the words to say. I don't want it to be my words. I want it to be your words. And there's three little easy steps.
Yes,
that you can
please
take.
Give us the steps.
Because I know that after I say this,
it's overwhelming.
It's so overwhelming because there's so much. So I kind of pray. It's just this idea of how can we do this well? Number one, pray. And it's this idea of being Bibled up. it's so hard to get in the word. And I think it's just, life is so crazy. You've and I've, and no person has ever walked away from Bible study and said that was a waste of time. But I think I do that with my phone constantly. Interesting how that works. Be Bibled up, be in the word, be praying. God will give you the words to say. His word does not return void. If you are talking to someone, I want that to be 90% Bible and 10% filler words and or but. So you can fill it in there. So like Ali Beth Stuckey, we loved her book so much because she had so much Bible in it. Don't take my word for it. Take the Lord, because the Lord's the one convicting you. The Lord's the one convicting your friend. You're not convicting your friend. You're a vessel. A vessel for what? Truth. Where do you find truth? In the Bible. So be Bibled up. Be reading your word. You have nothing factual to say apart from Christ. And just the idea, like, if you have nothing to fall back on, if you don't have scripture to fall back on, you're going to fall on your butt. Be logistical.
Be a Bible savvy.
Be Bible savvy. Oh, I love that. Be a Bible savvy girl. Yeah. I feel like this is for everything, but specifically for going into a conversation like this with your friend. And have the Bible to kind of back up the philosophy and like the ideas of what you're trying to convict them of as well. The second one is pray for them. I think a lot of times when we go into these conversations, we look in the mirror and we say, okay, so I'm going to say this, but then they're probably going to say this. And then if they say this, I'll say this, that kind of thing. Stop. Again, you're not in their head. You can't predict the future. Pray for them. So whenever they come to mind, start praying. Okay, God, I want to pray for this person. Pray that you would be starting right now, convicting their hearts of this. So whenever I say it, it's not going to be a shock. God, I start praying. How am I going to say this to them? Not how am I going to say it and how they're going to react. It's not your job and how they're going
to
react. Don't
script yourself to like the T.
No, because it never is going to, it never goes that way. Never have I had a conversation. I'm like, that went exactly the way I thought it was going to go. No, because people are unique. So pray for them. Like pray for them, not even over you in the situation, but like pray for that friend. If you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's alive in them, pray for them that the Holy Spirit would convict them. If not before, when you're speaking with them, because that's the whole goal. It's not you convicting them. It's the Holy Spirit. So pray, be Bibled up, be in the word, pray for your friend and be confident. Be confident in the Lord. Be caring in Christ. Be bold in the Bible and be humble. And that's just be confident, not in your abilities, because you will walk in there, your stomach will be turning, you will be just so anxious. And the reason is because you are anxious to carry the weight of truth, not anxious that that friend is not going to accept what you're going to say. You are a image bearer. You are a Christ bearer. You are a truth bearer. Be confident in the Lord, not in yourself. So you're being humble with yourself, but walk in there like knowing what is truth, sharing truth in love. And I think that's like the biblical calling of, don't get overboard where you're like, hey, this is true because it's the Bible and you can't change my mind. Being humble, like, hey, this is what God's revealed to me. If it's truth, the same Holy Spirit that's brought you to that truth, the same Holy Spirit is abiding in them. And just trust that the Holy Spirit will. And like, I say all of this, like three easy steps. This is so hard. And like, even recently, it was a very small thing that I brought up to my friend. I was like, but I love her and I don't want her to not love me. And this all dovetails from this idea of like, I was scared. I was scared of like offending her. And like, we're close friends. Like I love her. And because of the love, I turned that love to fear instead of turning that love to truth. And it's like, whoa, if you actually love them, you'll do the hard thing. Christ loved us. He literally died for us. That was a hard thing. He loved us so much. He left heaven and came to earth. That was a hard thing. Do the hard thing. It's going to be uncomfortable. Uncomfortability does not mean it's not God's will for you. It probably is God's will for you. So basically, love your friends. And what does it look like to love your neighbor? What does it look like to love God? It's speaking truth in love. And if anyone says that's a very high calling, I agree. If anyone says it feels impossible, I agree. You can't do it perfectly. Only Christ can. And he wants to work in and through you. And he wants to use this opportunity. And I think every opportunity we have to uplift one another and to call each other higher, it's from the Lord. Satan is not going to bring you an opportunity to become more emboldened in Christ and to look more like him. Like, Satan is only going to want to discourage you in being more like Christ, just shining for him and refining each other, because he chose not to do that. He chose pride over Christ, and he was in his presence. And so felt like it was such an important conversation to have,
because it was. Yeah. And also a huge qualifier, and I think this is the reason so many people are scared. You are going to lose friends. Sometimes the truth is going to fall on soil that is not, does not want to receive it. You are going to have to be okay with that. This is what Christ has called me to. As a Christian, I cannot turn a blind eye. I love you so much to the point where I'm willing to lose your presence in my life to tell you the truth. That's something you have to recognize. You have to acknowledge that fear is not unfounded. It can happen and it will happen. But the ones that God has deemed for you to have in your life, those are the ones that are going to grow ever closer and ever tighter around you, because you are treating someone the way you want to be treated. If you want to have your faults picked up, like, even if it's not a sin, but it's like, hey, your shirt tail is kind of hanging out. You want that.
Yep.
You want that yep. truth. You see somebody who, for example, maybe their spiritual coattail is like kind of like hanging that. Loose.
That's so good.
Don't you want to tell them that?
To encourage, like I've definitely had friends where I called them higher and we're no longer close. Yeah. And I had one friend even tell me, no one else is telling me that. Like she said, nobody else in my life is saying this. And it was interesting because like, I can tell you some of the worst pain that you'll experience as a believer when another believer chooses not to follow after Christ for whatever reason in their life. But it is so like God, it just blesses because even if it's not today, even if it's not tomorrow, even if it's not till they're like 40, when they come to that realization, just like I did with Stephanie, the overwhelming feeling of thank you for telling the truth, it outweighs any discomfort you will have by like not being in their life or not being like not seeing the fruit of it. It's not for you to see. And I think a lot of times we want to keep people in our lives, right? I think you said like the people who are supposed to be in our life will be in your life. And the people who are not, this is a refining opportunity for the Lord to kind of get the chaff out and to keep the wheat. And like, we're not allowing the Lord to do that. You are not the ultimate person that's supposed to be in someone's life.
Yeah.
It's Jesus Christ. Right. If you're a vessel of Jesus Christ, anything that I'm doing here with you, it's I'm here because Jesus is here and let's talk about him. And if you're not into that, he's into me and he's in me and I will continue to be that light.
And he's going to come through.
Amen. Amen. And he will bless it. He will bless if you are out there sharing truth in love.
Guys, thank you so much, Rebecca,
yes,
for coming on and chatting and sharing your heart with us. I can't wait to do this again. And thank you guys so much for listening. I hope this conversation was an encouragement to you. It was to me. Mm-hmm. And until we meet again, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.